Hello everybody. Welcome to our webinar. This particular webinar is not going to be so much a teaching. It's going to be a little bit of a review, but it's going to describe to you what we're going to be doing. So let me get started here. I don't think anybody has any problem with the mic and speakers. Everybody looks good there. Noise protocols. I just like to go through this. We're going to have a lot of interaction with you this time. So to keep the background noise out of the way, we're going to keep everybody on mute until you raise your hand and we call on you. And you raise your hand using the little hand button here. The arrow always goes the wrong way, you would think. The arrow is pointing in the direction that you want it to go. So if the arrow is pointing down, it means it's up for you and you can put it down. If the arrow is pointing down, it means it's down for you. Oops, the other way around. If it's pointing up, it means it's down for you and you can put it up. Okay, we'll help you with that. You raise your hand and we'll try and put it down for you when you're done. If you're having problems with the hand, or if we don't see your hand for what you consider to be too overly long, you can always type us a little message here in the chat box and hopefully we'll see that. Okay, so let's see what we've got here. We went through a variety of sources that most of you should be familiar with. We went through the astrology study guides that you've been given in both Great Quest and Quest Universal courses, supplemented by a couple of other sources that we have, but that are consistent with DK's teachings. We want, please, desperately, audience participation. So please ask questions or add comments as we go along with this series of webinars. What we plan on doing is delineating three charts each webinar. So we're going to spend about 20 minutes on each chart. One of us three presenters, me, Eva, and Risa, we're going to be the three presenters. One of us will take about 10 minutes talking about the first chart, going over the moon, the sun, and the ascendant, and relationships that they have. Then the other two presenters will add their thoughts, and then we'll open up to audience participation. So overall, it's going to end up being about 20 minutes per person. And whose charts are we going to be doing? Your charts. We would like to delineate your charts. If you would like to volunteer to participate, just go ahead and email me this information beforehand so I can go ahead and get the charts ready, send them out to the other team members, and then, like I said, we plan on going through and working with the audience on the charts. We do plan on starting first with our own. Hold on a second, we've got a question here. Yvonne, I volunteer to have my chart done. Great, okay. How do you know the ascendant if all you have is the day but not the time of birth? Okay, for both of you, Victor and Yvonne, both of you have actually given me your charts. I do have those. Louise, I need the time, okay? Are you telling me, Victor, I'm going to unmute you here. Victor, are you telling me that the time was unknown and the time that you gave me wasn't necessarily accurate?
No, go ahead, Victor. My birth time is okay. I'm thinking ahead about doing my dark half of the year report paper, and I've picked a person, but I don't know their time of birth, and I just wondered how. How do you come up with the ascendant? in that case?
Okay, you can go to your mentor and ask them if they can look it up for you somehow. If not, I've got a good website, and what I'll do is I'll put it in to the student campus so that you guys can see the website. You know, a lot of celebrities and stuff will be there. Anybody who has solar fire, there's a lot of celebrity, you know, politicians and stuff like that. So we can help you out with that, but we'll address it a little bit later, because the ascendant, the time is crucial for the ascendant. Okay, now, Louise, I see your two comments here, but what I want to do is I want to show you something, okay? We need the date, time, we need the place of birth, but then we also want to know a little something about yourself. And I believe all of you have done, as part of your homework, a little, you know, you had to go through your moon, your ascendant, and your sun. If you have that workup, we'd like it. We'd also like to know a little bit more about yourself, your occupation, and whatnot. So those are the things that I would like you to actually email to me. You got my email down here, and I'm going to give you a copy of these slides. Brett will post them with the recording. Okay? So we'll have all of that available to you.
Hi there. This is Eva coming in. How's everybody? Good, I hope. One of the things that we're going to ask you to do is to just email all of this material that we're asking for directly to BL, as opposed to putting it in now where the questions are and so on, because we're not taking notes of any of this. So please send all this material in, and this way BL will have it all in one area and can work from there, and then post whatever she needs to both Risa and myself.
Okay, another thing that I'd like you to tell you, and this is in way of an apology. Hold on a second here. We just got somebody new. Vera, hi Vera. Let me backtrack here just a minute so you can see what we're doing, okay? We're actually going to delineate three charts each webinar, starting with our next webinar on the 28th of June, and we're looking for audience volunteers. So Vera, if you would like to participate with us in this, these are the things that I would like you to please email to me. And I will, in fact, attach these slides. Brett will post it to Makara when he posts the recording, so you'll be able to have that. Okay, Victor, I see the me. Vera, you have a question. Okay, go ahead, Vera.
No, I just said that I will volunteer. I will provide the information.
Okay, great. Thank you. Hey, Vera, where is it you're from?
I am from Prague, but currently living in New Zealand.
Ah, that's what I thought. Okay. You're not going to like my next slide. Okay. This is what our problem is going to be here, folks. We have a lot of webinars that are going on. Some of them are student webinars, some are faculty webinars, but the bottom line is our Saturdays and Sundays, which are the premium time, are kind of booked. So we're going to have to start getting creative, and we're going to do that on the 28th of June. The webinar is going to be on a Saturday, and it's going to be at 3 p.m. GMT. This is a lot earlier than usual, and it's going to be the middle of the night for Vera, and I'm sorry about that. But what I'm going to try and do is we're also going to schedule some on Friday evenings, 8 p.m. GMT, which is going to be bad for the American West Coasters who work, but that will be good for those of you in Australia and New Zealand. So it's going to be a give or take, and part of this whole process is doing your own chart, participating in doing other people's charts is how we all learn. So if the time is inconvenient for you, I sure hope you are going to be able to actually do the recording and participate with us when we're able to do the time that's more convenient. I will say this, we're going to be very careful about these times. And so, for instance, on the days that we're going to have to be inconvenient for Australia and New Zealand, we will not be doing any charts from the people who live in that region. On the days when we're going to have to be inconvenient for the American West Coast workers, we will not be doing any charts for the individuals from the American Canadian West Coast. Okay? We will also email your chart to you in advance after you've provided the information to me, and we'll let you know which date it is that we're going to try and do it, your particular chart. So we want to work with you as much as possible, and I'm sorry that we're going to have some messed up times here. We will do our best to stick with the normal Saturday or Sunday if it's at all possible, though. So I just want to give you a heads up.
One more thing here, and that is, do let us know where you are living at this point. For example, we see birth places, but that's in no way an indication where you live at this point. So, for example, Vera, having said that she lives in Australia right now, gives us that information. We would not have known otherwise.
Right. Thank you. That's a good point. Okay, so basically these webinars are for you, and we want your audience participation, not just giving us your birth information and a little bit about yourself, like I said, this information, but we want your comments when we delineate a chart. There may be something that you see or that you wonder about. There may be something similar in your chart to what someone else has or what we have. We want this to be an audience participation. Okay? All right. So what are we going to be covering? We're going to start out simple at first. Okay? We're going to review the signs and the ruling planets, concentrating primarily on the ascendant, the sun, and the moon. We all say that, but as we were talking right before the webinar started, you know, you can't really, they're not in isolation in your chart, and when you start looking at the rulers, you're bringing in other things, and you end up looking at pretty much the whole chart, just looking at the ascendant, sun, and moon. But those are the things that we're actually going to be focusing on, the human behavior and learning from others. We tend to identify sign and planet characteristics, and then we start looking at them in people around us. That's how you learn. We study the astrological chart to identify the energies that need to be cultivated, balanced, and controlled. And we gain insight, if we're lucky, into the soul's plan for this lifetime. So that's what our objective is going to be in this series of webinars. Okay, where am I? Before I go any further, this is a review of what Eva has already told you in her previous webinars. She's got some excellent webinars out there on astrology and rayology. And if you guys haven't had the opportunity to see them, please do. It's always a good idea to go back and review them. So in review, the distinction between a sign and a constellation. Constellations, they're configurations of stars, little groups of stars that have been given names. They're actual astronomical entities. They've been widely used for a long time for navigation, and over the time, stories have been associated with them. The signs themselves epitomize these thoughts and ideas that have been built up over all of these years, centuries, millennium. These are influences that man has created about the constellations and have been passed down because they're tried and true archetypes. They work. They seem to work. It's expressing as an energy system conveying the characteristics of these archetypes. So that's the distinction here between the actual constellation and the sign, what the sign means. Okay, some of the chart characteristics that we're going to use, you know, specific. Astrologers have all these little boxes that they have to check before they draw up a chart, okay? And I want to tell you a little bit about the boxes that we're going to check when we do your charts. We're going to be using geocentric orientation. Geo means earth. It basically means the earth is at the center, and the sun passes through the zodiac each month. The sun is the one that's moving around us in the zodiac. In reality, we know that's not the truth, that it's actually the opposite. And so what do? We look at the sun-earth axis in the chart because the earth is always opposite the sun. It looks to us like the sun is moving, but it's really the earth moving through the opposite sign in tandem. Okay. We're going to look at the tropical zodiac. What that means is that 0 degrees Aries every single year is going to be the spring equinox for the northern hemisphere. It's the archetype that's been built up about Aries over thousands of years. It's similar to the distinction between the signs and the constellation. Okay? The equinoxes actually go back a little bit each year, and that's what creates the age of Aquarius, the age of Pisces, etc., is the difference, you know, where the sun really is, where it appears to be in relation to the spring equinox. But for us, we're using the tropical zodiac, and there's precedence for that. DK does talk about that a little bit. It's just one of those thought forms, one of those archetypes that has proven itself to be tried and true. We're going to be using the Regio Montanus house system. Now, this is totally arbitrary, okay? House systems vary, but the angle is always going to remain the same, all right? What it's going to do, those are the four angles, so that'll be the ascendant, the IC, the descendant, and the MC. The first house cusp, the fourth house cusp, the seventh house cusp, and the tenth house cusp. Those will always remain the same. It's the inner houses that the house system is going to change just a tad. And it depends on your preference. It usually depends on what you've been used to. There's a variety of ways of doing it, and I've got a couple of them to show you here. This is an equal house system. Right here, they took the ascendant, 27 Libra, and then every house has that same degree on the cusp, okay? The midheaven, the MC, is right here, so it's identified. It's not the 10th house cusp in this system. The IC would be opposite it down here at 6 Aquarius. I don't have it identified in the chart, but that's where it would be. This is the Placidus system, and the Placidus system is very widely used. It's been around for a real long time, but see what's happened here with the Placidus system? See how the 12th house is real skinny, and the 9th house is really big? That happens, and the further north you go, the more the distortion happens there. So several other house systems were developed to try and offset that. I personally was taught and for the past 20 years have used the Cook system because it alleviates a lot of that distortion. But those of you who have attended any of the conferences, you know that Michael uses the Regio Montana system, and so if you were actually given a chart, chances are it's going to be a Regio Montana's chart. In our own personal preference, when we talked about it, the three of us, what we found was two of us liked the Cook system. I was not pleased with the Placidus for because it takes my Jupiter and puts it in the second house. And any of you who've seen me know Jupiter goes much better in my first house than it goes in my second house. The same with Eva. She has a stellium that moves houses depending on Cook or Placidus, and she relates more to that Libra stellium being in her fifth house, I'm sorry, than in her fourth house. So what we found was that of the likes and dislikes, the one that made the most of us happy was Regio Montanus. And since that's one of them that Michael likes to use, we said, okay, for our group purposes, we're going to use this particular system. But what I would like to point out is, let me see here, what we've seen is Neptune here is in the fifth house and Neptune here is in the fourth house. So that's one where the planet has changed. Saturn here is close to the second house, and here it's even closer to the second house. So one of the things that astrologers will do is houses on the cusp, they'll consider it in both houses and let you look and see, just like Eva and I did, which one you think you relate to most. Chances are it can be both, and chances are it will be as you go on in your life and as you mature and as you learn more lessons, it will move into the other house anyway. It will for sure by progression. So it's one of those things, look at it in both houses. Most astrologers will do that for you. Okay, so that's tropical zodiac, geocentric, and we're using the Regio Montanus, or however you say that. Those are the houses we're using. Let's just call them Regio houses, okay? So, I'm going to cover a few things that you're going to see on these charts, just because, I mean, it's going to take me longer to describe them than it is for us to look at them in your chart. This is just a little trick that astrologers use. Some of the charts I'm sure you've been given have had these, and you just may not have known what they are. We're going to look a little bit at the environment, what the houses, the quadrants, and hemispheres look like, and where our planets are focused. What elements do we have the most of? How do we express them? And what elements might we be lacking? What is our primary mode of operation? Are we changeable, initiatory, or stubborn? Yeah, I think I fall in the stubborn category. Okay, this is today's chart. Isn't something we're going to delineate, but this is what I'm talking about down here. See, quadrant. A person born today at about the time we started our webinar is going to have all kinds of stuff in the third quadrant up here, the seventh, eighth, and ninth house. They've got all kinds of things in the western hemisphere, the fourth through ninth house, and they're pretty balanced between the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. Okay? They're real big on air and water, not so much earth. And look at that cardinal, it's way out there. So that's the kind of stuff that just in a quick glance we can say, oh, okay. Water, cardinal, Cancer, stellium up here. That explains that. So no matter what level we're at, we're going to feel the lower levels. We're going to feel them both, okay? Some of us are working primarily at the higher levels, but that doesn't mean we don't have stressful times when we go to the lower levels. Some of us might be working primarily with the personality levels, and we might have occasional bouts of the higher purposes too. Both of them will be there, And even if we are working primarily with the soul, we still have to manifest that work in that outer world. Planets in the different hemispheres show our tendencies. So what did we see with that chart that we just looked at? They were even on the northern and southern hemispheres. So there's no predominance really one way or the other on introvert or extrovert. And they were primarily Western. So they had a lot of group affiliation following group initiated activities. Where am I? Quadrants. Remember we saw the third quadrant, houses 7 to 9. This person is going to be strong in social identity and worldly issues because that's the quadrant where they had the central focus of their planets. These charts, as I said, you guys are going to get a copy of them. I'm not going through everything in here. This is more in the way of a review of stuff that Eva has previously covered in her webinars. But I thought you could use just a handy guide that had most of the stuff in it that we're going to be using. So, like I said, I'm going to go through these charts fairly quickly, but you'll get a copy of them. They'll be posted with the recording. Okay, the ascendant in the midheaven, the MC, the medium, Coeli, those are the two primary angles. But their opposite angle is also important. Okay? Ascendant is appearance, temperament, and identity. Esoterically, it's the soul qualities and the emerging soul purpose. The opposite angle is the descendant, partners, relationships, co-servers. And the axis, it's the self versus the other, or the emerging soul-infused personality. They work together in tandem. The MC and IC, the MC is career goals, profession, social status. Esoteric, it's soul goals, spiritual responsibility, ashramic work. Opposite angle is the IC, the Imam Coeli, home, family relationships. They work together as an axis, can be family versus career, or working together towards ashramic goals. So again, these are the angles, the ascendant, the fourth house cusp, it's the IC, the midheaven is the 10th house cusp, and the descendant over here. It becomes an astrological signature for us, basically. Aries is the natural home of the first house, Taurus is the natural home of the second house, etc. You're going to have a different house on the cusp. We just saw Libra. That's actually 180 degrees away. I like to liken it to the difference between being a native born from Germany or living a couple of years in Germany. You get the flavor of it, but not the full experience if you're just visiting. So I want you to consider that there is a relationship, and you're going to have a different one in your chart depending on where your ascendant is, because it's going to set the rest of the house cusps for you. But there is this little astrological alphabet, which we always consider. Aries related to the first house, Aquarius related to the 11th house, and so on and so forth. I loved these charts that Eva had last year. It gives these are the traditional houses with the traditional interpretations. And here's the esoteric or higher correspondence for those houses. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Risa now for a few minutes. She's going to talk about a little practical application we've got for you.
Hi everybody, it's Risa. I found that it's really good to do homework in between these classes and to begin an astrological journal. BL has given us, and will be given it later, a bi-wheel, which is blank, which is two wheels, one inside, a wheel inside, and a wheel outside, a bi-wheel blank. And it would be good for each one of us when we have our charts to draw our charts, to draw the charts and all the signatures on the inside wheel. And the outside wheel is to take notes with. It's good for us to take that blank wheel and actually make 10 copies. And then we can, through the weeks and months of doing this work together, take notes on our chart. As we hear and see other people's charts, we can look at our chart and take notes about what we've learned. It's really important to do this, to draw our own chart. I also want to suggest that we draw with pencil and then add the colors of the elements when we understand the elements. When we do this, we anchor the information into form and matter. It helps us getting used to writing the astrological glyphs. So we again place our natal planets on the inner circle, our house cusps on the very outer edge of the bi-wheel, and then we take notes in those different areas, it's called houses, where we are able to define and describe our planets and our signs.
Risa, Eva,
yes.
Here. Looking at the bi-wheel here, could we put that up again? Okay, do you want them to draw in the very, very inner circle, the one that looks like a sun, or do you want them to draw on the next one?
The next one, Eva.
Okay, so the one that's already divided.
That's right, because it has the houses.
Right, so that's where you want them to put in their natal chart information.
That's right.
Okay.
And then if we continue on the very, very outer wheel, that very thin one, that's where we place our signs and our degrees, because then we place the degrees and signs at each cusp. So we start to understand our chart by drawing it first.
Correct. Okay. Just want to make sure that there's no confusion for anyone.
Thank you for that clarification, because I wasn't always looking at that by wheel. That's all I have to say right now, BL.
So just in review, this bi-wheel chart will be sent to all the students that are sending in their information. Is that correct, BL? Are we still on?
Oops, I'm sorry. Could you not hear me?
No. No.
I'm sorry.
So
yes.
Let me ask the question again. So that bi-wheel chart will be sent to those students that are going to be sending you information, and those are the ones we know are interested.
Yes, that's true. And it's also going to be available too, because they'll get a copy of these slides with the webinar. But yes. For those of you who joined us after we talked about this particular slide, this is going to be an audience participation series of webinars where we're going to delineate three charts per webinar, and that means we're going to delineate you guys' charts. The three of us each will pick one of you, and then the others will add to it. We want feedback from you. We'll need your birth information. We'll need something about yourself. Most of you have been through Great Quest and or Quest Universal, and in that you had homework where you had to look at your sun, moon, and earth. If you've got that, that would be helpful along with a couple of other things. You can email it to me, and then I'll share it with my coworkers in this. So that's what Eva was talking about. When you volunteer, I'll send you that chart. You can make copies of it. It will also be available in the when you get a copy of these slides. Okay? So any questions before we move on quickly through the elements and modes here?
BL, this is Risa, and I'd like to add something for the esoteric journals.
Okay.
When we have our esoteric journals, we should have them in each class and use them during the month before the next class. And here are some of the questions that are good for us to review in the esoteric journals. What did I hear and learn today? What was important to me in terms of me and my chart? What questions do I have and what concerns? And what would I like to study further in terms of this astrology and my chart? These are important questions for us to ask, and they focus us on going into a deeper level of our chart and being able to write down information in our esoteric journal, which we then answer for ourselves. And if we'd like to share with others, that would be helpful.
Okay, can you look at my screen here? What did I miss? I was trying to write your questions down.
What did I hear and learn today? What was important to me? What questions do I have? And what do I want to study further in terms of my chart? Another question would be is, what is of concern to me?
Too bad I can't spell right. Okay, we've got a question here. Yvonne, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. It's about that blank wheel. I'm still not real clear on what I'm supposed to do that. We're going to be sent copies. We make 10 copies, and then we're supposed to put our stuff in. Is there an example someplace, a simple one, just so we get it in the right place, or doesn't it matter since we're doing it in pencil?
Well, first off, I'll be sending you a copy of your chart, so you'll have it already done, but then you want to transfer it on here because, as Risa said, the process of, you know, putting it in your brain and actually writing it out makes it sink in a lot more. But what Risa was talking about was you do the planets inside here, this circle right here. Here, you can see where
I'm moving it. So those aren't numbered houses. Those are the planets in there.
You put the planets in the houses. This is, you put your cusps here on the outer wheel, like the first house cusp here, what the degree is, what the sign is, the second house cusp here, the third house cusp here. Then you put the planets that you have in your natal chart in the first house, the second house, the third house. You write the little glyphs, and then this wheel here, Risa was telling you, would be for the notes.
That's for notes, okay. So our chart information from our basic birth chart is on that inner wheel.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
One of the very first things to do when you get that blank wheel is to number the houses from 1 to 12, then add your planets and add your cusps and signs on the outside.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to breeze through these really quickly. This is stuff you guys have had before in the other webinars. But like I said, I just wanted to be able to give it to you. You know, so you had a one-stop shopping set of notes that you could use. Yvonne, do you have another question?
No.
Okay. Okay. So the elements, they give us some of our interesting characteristics. Of course, we're going to have all signs to some degrees, and if we don't have natal planets in it, we're going to have transits and progressions in there. So sooner or later, we get a little bit of everything. But we may also find that we have an uneven proportion of elements, and that's going to color our personal characteristics. Are we enthusiastic, sensual, intellectual, or sensitive? Compatible elements form trines and sextile relationships in a chart. Those are soft aspects, bringing us benefits and opportunities, but we may tend to take them for granted. They make us lazy. What did we see in that chart? Had a lot of air and a lot of water, right? So the chart for today that we looked at was high on air, intellectual, good communicator, broad-minded, objective. Air is the most social of all the elements, but they can be too detached, and overvalue intellectual abilities, a mental snob. They're masculine, like the fire signs, yang, outgoing, expressive. They're compatible with the fire signs. Not so much with the water and earth signs. Also high on water. Water was, of course, the highest one of the bunch because that chart we looked at had the Cancer stellium. Water is emotional, nurturing, and conforming, sensitive, moody, intuitive, empathic, can be too sensitive. They're feminine, like the earth signs, passive, receptive, containing, and they are compatible with the earth signs. So, okay, modes. I need to put the little caveat in here that we've mentioned several times in other webinars, both me and Eva. What we're talking about here when we look at the cardinal fixed and mutable signs are the modes of operation. Again, we have all signs to some degrees or others, but one mode may be predominant for us, and the chart that we looked at, cardinal was predominant. So it's going to show the overarching method in how we do things. Are we go-getters, maybe stubborn, or are we always changing our mind? They do form crosses in our chart, and those present challenges. These are the hard aspects, oppositions and squares. They make us work for what we achieve, but they end up being well worth it because they bring us our greatest opportunity. These are the swift kick in the behind that gets us off the couch and makes us use those attributes that we had that we were taking for granted and not actively using. Do not confuse the charts, that the signs, the modes that you see in your chart with the three crosses of evolution. Okay? One is a way of operating, and the other is a status of evolution. They are, of course, related. The mutable cross is the evolutionary stage for ordinary man, and their whole purpose is to learn and experience, and they do that by being changeable. The fixed cross is the stage for advanced humanity. It's for the probationers, it's for the disciples, and they need to be fixed and determined in the work that they're doing. The cardinal cross is for initiates and upward, and those people have the power to initiate things. They know they have access to the hierarchy, they know the plan, the divine plan, and they have the power to initiate the work that needs to be done for the divine plan. But that's an evolution. That's how far up the food chain you are, whether you've taken the first, second, or third initiation or higher. And you can't really determine that just from looking at how many cardinal planets you have or how many fixed planets you have. Okay? So what we're going to be talking about is the mode of operation and not the cross of evolution. So we saw that person had an overabundance of cardinal signs. Forceful initiating important, will drive action. But while they're very initiating, they may not lack follow through. Okay, like to start things but don't necessarily like to finish them. Esoterically, it's directed soul control activity. Aries, the will to do, create, establish mental control. Cancer is developing intuition and soul sensitivity. Libra, developing balance through mental control. And Capricorn, developing spiritual awareness leading to initiation. What did we see in that chart? Had a stellium in Cancer, had the ascendant in Libra, right? Okay, I'm not going to go through the rest of these. They are here in your slides for your notes, but you get the idea. You have studied them all before. Okay, what we're going to be focusing on when we do the chart delineations is the big three, the moon, the ascendant, and the sun. We're going to be looking in most cases at both the exoteric keynote and the esoteric keynote for those three signs. You've seen these before, but we've got them here for you, and we will be talking about them. So these are things we need to consider. We're going to look at both levels, the personality level for the planets. The focus is on material gain and developing that personality force. The sun is the primary influence. We're going to look at the soul level for the planets, see what aspects of the soul we can determine are emerging. The ascendant is the predominant point of influence for that. And we're going to look at the past influence, the habits that may be holding us back, and that's what the moon represents. That path of least resistance, all the previous experiences that we've brought with us, the consciousness level where we left off last time, our old habits, both good and bad, this is what we mean by the path of least resistance. Gives us our natural talents and abilities, or actually creates the prison of our soul until we repattern those negative habits that are no longer useful to us. The moon represents the nurturing figure or mother figure in our chart, and as we said, it can also be the prison of the soul. We need to specifically look at what we want to repattern. What are the negatives of the moon sign? What are the negatives of the house placement? Are we still experiencing the personality keynote? What areas can we strengthen to bring us closer to the moon's soul keynote? You guys have seen this stuff before. This was in your workbooks, your astrology workbooks in Great Quest. It was also in your astrology workbooks in Quest Universal. It was in the homework that you had to do on yourself, that you also had to do on at least one other person, right? Personality, it's a synthesis of the lower vehicles. All of them working together. Coordinates them into a viable, powerful person. When the personality emerges, that's actually a sign of evolution. May not be a good person, but they've coordinated the lower vehicles and they're working in this entity known as a personality. Can be selfish and self-seeking at first until the soul begins to filter in. Eventually it integrates with the soul and expresses the higher calling of the world of form. Personality dynamics. self-reliant, distinct from the masses, establishing the primary vocation for the person. Negative dynamics, standing in the way of the soul, evading or failing to respond to the voice of the soul. Limiting expansion and refusing to grow. Selfishness, separativeness, self-centering, self-referencing. The sun is that personality influence in our chart. Are we working with physical sun, the little self? Or the heart of the sun, is that beginning to emerge, the higher self? Do we relate to the sun sign personality keynote? Have we started cultivating the soul's keynote? Do we see the emerging influence of that sun-earth axis? The lower and higher expression of both the signs and the houses. Are they in a tug of war? Are we beginning to balance them? Can we relate to the influence of the sun's esoteric ruler? So these are all areas that we're going to be looking at in more depth. The soul, consciousness. Awareness asks for more awareness. It brings wisdom. It's the source of our true vocation, selflessness, altruism, the sense of the sacred. And the ascendant is the one that helps us understand our soul purpose. How are we cultivating that soul keynote? How are we expressing the rulers of the ascendant, exoteric and esoteric? Their influence by house and sign, and what aspects, if any, they make to the ascendant. Okay, any questions before we move to a couple of other little topics? We're about ready to wrap it up here. I don't see any hands go up, so Eva, Risa, you have anything before I move on?
It's just that if it hasn't been emphasized yet, and I think it has several times both by you and me in the past, it's important for everyone to do a little homework, to become familiar with all these things that are being reviewed yet again, because if you have the foundation, what we are going to be doing will really, really make sense. If you don't have the foundation and you don't recognize the glyphs, for example, or you don't recognize the modes, it's very hard to calculate relationships and aspects. It's very hard to make sense of what we're going to be talking about. So I really encourage you guys. I know you've got the dark half of the year coming up, and there's so much work that you need to do. But really, if you can spend a little time reviewing, it'll save you so much heartache. That's it.
Practice makes perfect. You know, the more you use this, the more it begins to sink in. Okay, I want to bring up a subject that you guys may have heard of, but you may not have really paid much attention to. Retrogrades, we find them all of the time. It's where a planet appears to move backwards. This is just a natural part of the planetary motion. Actually, it has more to do with the apparent planetary motion. It looks like that to us because the Earth moves at a different rate of speed than everybody else does. We experience a difference with retrogrades. Something may not work the way that it normally does. If the planet is in direct motion, it means we need to review or revisit the action for some reason, or we might be internalizing it for some reason. These are all keywords that are associated with retrogrades. We can be born with retrogrades in our natal chart, in which case we actually learn to use this different mode of operation on a regular basis. It's how we would normally express the planet, because for us it is retrograde. Or we can experience transiting retrogrades in little fits and starts, fleeting periods of the planetary movements, transits and whatnot. Why do we care? we care because we're getting ready to start a Mercury retrograde cycle. Okay, all the cycles are, of course, different. Has to do with a specific planet and the nature of that planet, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on them here, but I want to show you what happens with the cycle. Okay, here's Mercury, 18 Aquarius. This was a previous period, not the one we're going through right now. Tripping along, happy as a clammy, her moving, and then whoomp. Hits the wall, turn retrograde at 3 degrees Pisces, and goes all the way back to 18 again. Then stations direct, moves forward, and goes back to 3 Pisces. So this entire window here is covered by the retrograde. As Mercury hits these degrees 3 times. So Mercury is fixing to go retrograde on 7 June at 3 degrees Cancer, which means we're already in the cycle right now. He's already past the point where he's going to eventually make it back to. So we're in the middle of one of these little passes. We're almost to the part where he turns and goes retrograde. And during this time period when we're asking you to study, and during the time period when we do the first three charts, which will be the three charts for ourselves, it will be during the actual retrograde period. And then when we're asking you to apply that, is still part of this retrograde cycle. So I wanted you to be aware of that. Mercury goes retrograde 3 times a year, and we've all heard, oh, communications are going to go haywire. Sure they do. But it's also a time to listen to your inner voice, what needs to be reviewed, slowed down, and reflected on. So, because he's going to be retrograde most of June, think about that, what needs to be reviewed, slowed down, and reflected on, and use this retrograde period constructively. He goes retrograde 3 times a year, so there's 3 opportunities a year to use Mercury retrograde constructively. All right, I mentioned this before. I don't think we had anybody from Meditation Quest, and that's good because they didn't really get into any astrology. Great Quest students, you got a main astrology booklet that you used for both years. Quest Universal students, 150, one of your resources was the astrology guide notes. Those are the sources for most of this presentation. You should have those available in your arsenal. If you don't, you can download them from the campus. Make sure you do have them. Now, for those of you who always ask the question, I'm going to tell you about a couple of good books to read. If you have either Om Union Through Astrology by Leone or Soul-Centered Astrology by Alan Oken, I would tell you that they're both very similar. They're both very good books, and they cover the 3 different levels, the personality level, the soul level, and the initiate level. They go through the delineations for the planets and houses and signs. Very good material. And Astrology, the Divine Science by Marsha Moore and Mark Douglas is an excellent book. It's a good book. It's a good textbook-like on astrology, but it's one of those books that as a beginning astrologer I bought it and I used it and I've never taken it off my shelf. It's a wonderful quick reference for a lot of different things, and they were familiar with the Alice Bailey material, and it is included in this particular book. So beginning astrology, it's about the size of a Webster dictionary. I mean, it's huge. But it's a very good book, and either one of these, I would think, would be excellent. Leone, of course, is the director of the Meditation Quest and the Great Quest. This is a really good book Soul-Centered Astrology is also a good book. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you to go to The Source. The Source for what's in all of our guides, what these books were made from, is basically a treatise on the Seven Rays, Volumes 1 to 5, with a smattering of some of the other books. But it's not just in esoteric astrology. You got to go look at esoteric healing, esoteric psychology 1 and 2, and the Rays and Initiation, because all of them talk about the different correlations. So, I've got just a couple of more things here, but let me ask if there's any questions or comments from anybody or my co-presenters. I don't see anything right now. Okay, well then I will tell you.
Sorry, I was just saying that it's good. I think you've covered everything.
Okay, here's our team, Eva, Risa, and I. Thanks for participating. Our next webinar is the 28th of June at 3 p.m. GMT. This is an unusual time, and I apologize to the Australians and New Zealanders, but we will compensate.
For those on the East Coast, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. I know a lot of people have difficulty figuring out this Eastern Daylight Time and Eastern Standard Time. 3 p.m. GMT works out to 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And so for those that are on the East Coast, it's 11. Central, it's 12. And I think you guys can figure out what it would be on the West Coast.
Yeah, I think it's like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. for poor Vera, and I'm sorry about that. But like I said, we'll compensate. We'll have one that's just for you at a time zone that other people don't like. Okay. Again, a couple of you joined us after we talked about this. These webinars, the ones that we're starting on the 28th and future webinars, we're going to be doing chart delineation of the audience, and we would like audience participation. If you would like to participate, I need you to please send me your birth information, date, time, and place. The exact time is crucial to establish that ascendant. Well, my mother told me it was about, doesn't really hack it. Mothers traditionally remember wrong. So if you have an exact time, that's wonderful. If not, I hope somebody has done a very good rectification. That doesn't happen to be one of my strong suits. We also want to know a little bit about yourself, and everybody here, with the exception of probably Alex, has already had to do some kind of astrological self-profile. Great question, Question Universal. Have you do the sun, ascendant, and moon? So you've all probably had to do that. If you have done that for one of your courses, we would like you to please send that to us. If you haven't, let us know. We can work with that. Expect to start working on it, though. So, that's all I've got for you guys, unless anybody has any questions for me. The next webinar will be on the 28th of June, and three charts will be delineated. Each of the three of us will delineate our own charts. The others will comment on it, and then we will open it up to allow you guys to comment it or question it. Okay. Any other questions or?
I think we're going to try to do at least one webinar a month.
Yes.
That's the plan?
That's the plan.
Yeah, so we're going to try. So this will be progressing into fall and into winter, hopefully. It all depends on how many people really want to be involved.
Right, and I expect some people have missed this particular webinar, but will want to get involved. So, okay, Alec, you had a question?
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I'm sorry I came in late. I had the wrong time. I don't believe it. But I've been, so is this appropriate for me?
Yes, it is appropriate for you. You haven't actually studied astrology yet, so you're not going to have, you're not going to have the background that the other students have, but you're going to get into astrology next year. And, you know, that's just right around the corner for you. So certainly you can participate with us, and we welcome that.
This month we're doing astrology. We're doing an introduction to astrology. And I've also been listening to Eva's delineation. That's a good introduction, isn't it?
It is. She's got those webinars out there. She's got astrology webinars. She's got the Ray webinars. Those are all available on Acara. And this will be available. The notes for this will be available. So you have the resources that I think it will work well with you. I personally want you to concentrate on your meditation. That's the purpose of Meditation Quest. But
I'm not in Meditation Quest. I'm in Great Quest. I'm Great Quest. I'm Great. Yeah.
Are you in Great Quest? I thought you were in Meditation.
I am. No.
Oh, good.
No.
Good,
I'm in
good,
Great
good.
Quest. Yeah, good. And we have just done this month an introduction to astrology.
Ah, good. Then
but I'm still a beginner. I'm still a beginner.
Should I ask the rest of the audience how many of them think they're beginners too? Go ahead and you can't see if they raise their hand. I think a lot of them will agree with you. Yvonne just raised her hand, so. Yeah, you'll fit in very well, Alex. Okay.
Okay.
One of the things I do want to add here is that if you know that it's going to be your chart that is going to be read, please do not attend only on those days. Try to attend as many of these webinars as you can. It's only by following the way in which these charts are being delineated that you learn how to do it. To just
I understand.
Pay attention, just to pay attention on your own chart, and I'm not specifically addressing any one person here. This is to the whole group here. To attend only the one chart that is your own chart is very limiting, and we really don't learn from that. At least we don't learn enough.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. We have to learn how to observe the behaviors in the people around us, and we do that best by paying attention to what's going on with our group here, by attending all the webinars and the ones that you can't, because we might do them at an inconvenient time for you, to please follow up with the recordings. Okay, something about yourself is a question that I've got. Just information and what we know astrology-wise, or something more like Ray problems and issues. Something about yourself as far as the astrology that you know, if you have a hypothesis on your Rays, you could throw that in, although we're not going to really get to Rays for several months. And also something about your day job, all right? It tells us a lot about who you are, what you do in the mundane world. Sometimes that works well to give you the skills that you need or the time that you need to do your esoteric work, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's competing. So that's the kind of stuff, just a little personal information. Okay? Any other questions or... And again, for those of you who volunteer, please email me these things. As soon as Brett posts this recording to the webinar, it will have these slides with it. So that'll give you the information that you need to. Okay, well, then I think we're done. Thank you all very much for attending, and especially thank you, my partners in crime, Eva and Risa.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Good job, Eva. Thank you.
Yeah, let's unmute everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Everybody can say goodbye.
Okay, let me unmute everybody, and you can say goodbye.
Yeah. There we go.
Yes, goodbye. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye, and see you all at our future webinars.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty.